Hello, folks. Welcome to the Power of People podcast. My name is Mark Erlenwine, and I'm the principal of Staten Island Technical High School, recently ranked number 37 in the nation and number 6 in New York on U.S. News and World Report's 2021 Best High Schools list. I am joined by my co-host and friend.
I'm Bob Wolf. I'm the founder of HOPE, the Student's Bridge to Business, and Human Interaction, Knowledge Applied Skills Presentations. And I'm on the east side of the river, on the Long Island side.
Thanks for joining us today for episode 6, where our goal is to continue to give you, our listeners, a competitive edge in the real world as you navigate your life and career path.
The opportunity to share information and stories and knowledge that you've gained, Mark, and I've gained, has helped so many students in the last 21 years that I've been presenting that this whole podcast series can add value to every person's life who observes and listens and watches what we do.
Yes, and each time we talk more and more about and unpack the concepts and the skills that we're talking about, being a high school principal, working with teenagers, I'm often reminded on a daily basis about just how quickly technology is impacting and changing the way we communicate. And really almost giving me this constant moment where I'm at a crossroads of questioning, where do we kind of, and I like to use the term meet the students where they're at with the language that they're using and the tools that they're using in order to connect with them better. And then where do we expect them to meet us where we're at in this, although we're educators, that is our profession, is our professional world. And there's communication skills that are expected at that at that level. And when do we start to see those changes and those expectations met on a regular basis as we're teaching and hopefully modeling it?
The reality is the sooner and younger you are when you learn any skill, the more proficient you will become later, especially if you intend to use that skill at some point in your career, whether it be in sports or art or music or in business.
Yeah, we've talked about in the past, Bob, you and I, about how students and their usage of the telephone, the mobile phone has continually become this enormous consumer and consumption of time on a daily basis of their attention. It's called screen time, how much screen time people are putting towards their mobile devices and how much that's taking away from that interpersonal experiences that we have with people live and in person. And our conversations brought me back to a book that I've been noodling through over the past few years. And it's kind of interesting. The gentleman who wrote this book is also an alumnus of my high school. We graduated not too far away from one another, a few years off, so to say. And I'll bring a little caption of his book up on our screen. This is Bonin Bao from his book, Text Me, Your Phone Has Changed Your Life. Let's Talk About It. And it's funny, on the front of his book, he actually has his cell phone number. It's legitimately his cell phone number, and he invites people to text him about these ideas. I thought there was two captions in particular that really resonated deep with what you and I talk about. So this is the first caption. For those who are viewing and listening, I'll read it aloud. In response to critics who say the internet is making people stupid and superficial, I would argue that the velocity of communication and the need to distill meaning into fewer words and characters, whether via SMS, Twitter, or Facebook, has made us all more, not less, sensitive to the nuance, meaning, subtext, and intention of words. Don't play what's there, play what's not there, jazz trumpeter Miles Davis once said. Twitter and text messaging ask us to spell out and unlock the implications, presence, and absence of words with the soul of lyric poets who moonlight as cat-footed private eyes. How about that, Bob?
Well, I think I can relate to the first two-thirds of what he says. I played music when I was younger, and it's called interpretive music, free flow. But the last bit about the absence of words and souls of lyric poets who moonlight as cat-footed private eyes, he's off somewhere for me. the fact of the matter is that Twitter, Facebook, and all those interpersonal social media outlets, they will distill some of the meaning of words simply because there's much more to the meaning of a word than seeing it on a screen. As Maya Angelou said, she said, words mean more than what are set down on paper. Or today, the kids don't see paper, they see screens. She said, words mean more than what are set down on paper. It takes the human voice to infuse them with shades of deeper meaning. So I think it's not making people stupider and superficial, but it's taking away some of the depth of meaning and understanding that is really inherent in effective communication when it's verbal.
Yeah, when I read this, the first thing that always comes to me is that cliche and that saying of less is more. And while these conversations between youth and adults, because this usage of technology as a tool for communicating in this mode is not exclusive, certainly, to just students and youth. You know, there's plenty of adults who are using this. I think they would say very proficiently in communicating exactly what they mean. And it's interesting, in talking to some of our alumni who are now entrepreneurs, they consider themselves entrepreneurs, and I would by all means of the definition of what an entrepreneur is, many of which who have gone into the tech world and are now using these modes of communication on a regular basis. It's interesting how much there's a norm in this way of communicating. Like, just there are some of these students who, you know, some of them even have my cell phone number once they've graduated, and our relationship is kind of evolved into a more of a friendship versus a educator and student. And I just noticing the way in which they use emojis and their choice of emojis, their animated GIFs or GIFs. We could debate on what's the proper pronunciation of that. I feel at times that, and I talk about this with my teachers, that to some degree, we have to be able to meet our students where they're at and not completely disregarding this as a viable tool and a reality in terms of a way in which students communicate. We actually, some of our English teachers, more than just one, teaches students, there's one unit which they ask students to write a story in the form of a Twitter post. So you can only use, I think it's 140 characters. I'm forgetting actually how many characters you're allowed to use. But it's almost a form of poetry and prose, using the format and limitations of Twitter to convey your idea.
Well, honestly speaking, I would have some serious doubt and disagreement with the fact that less is more in those instances where communication must convey feelings, depth of feelings, true emotions, and convey what the five senses are. And actually, there are seven senses, you know, the five that we all normally know about, but the other two are common and humor. So sometimes when less is more on a screen with the words you can put there, depth of meaning can be very, very quickly misunderstood by the person reading them. And it's happened to me several times with educators. But for you, when you know the students well enough, you've seen them, they've seen you, they read your body language, they hear your tone of voice when you speak, sure, you can use that whole world of less is more and fewer characters and be effective because they know you know each other. But in the world of business, when you don't know people, when you're developing the sense of chemistry with the people that you're meeting every day, developing a culture of understanding within that chemistry of different personalities, I think less is a problem. It lends to the recipient or the receiver of a message to wonder, what do they mean by that? What was he really trying to say, or she really trying to say? So less is not more in the case of developing personal relationships, in my opinion.
I can recall recently some of our, I guess, most profound thinkers out there. Elon Musk has gotten himself into a little bit of trouble here and there. And dare I say, a couple of other people who are no longer allowed to use social media by posting things that they were thinking, maybe all too brief, without the context and subtext of emotion or tone and an inflection, in the absence of voice, with just mere text in their tweets or their text messages, have backfired and gotten some of these folks into some trouble. And, for other reasons, banned off of social media. But in other cases, negatively impacting stock markets and how their own company is trading on the stock market.
Well, it also does something else that's not positive at all. It puts ideas in people's heads that are not fully developed by the person who's receiving them, but may be fully developed by the person delivering them, but he or she is leaving out context, which is critically important to understanding the meaning of the words that they're using in these very brief squares and plackets on a screen, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I'm still on the fence with how much of this we need to start. I feel like as educators, we're missing an opportunity to... I don't feel we need to shift and switch the way we're communicating with kids, but we might be missing capturing their attention more effectively, not taking some of these modes of communication a bit more seriously, or learning a little about more how to leverage them to our benefit. But at this, I do 100% agree that the context of some of these short blurts of thoughts and ideas are sometimes too impressionable and are used almost as a paraphrase to justify something else that somebody else is trying to say or doesn't actually mean at all.
Well, we don't know people at all unless we spend time with them. The idea that someone has 1,000 friends on Facebook that they've never set eyes on, and they read some of their comments about a topic, whether it's politics or religion or diversity or whatever we are having the hot buzzword of the day be that at this time of our life. The reality is that both sets of skill sets, whether they're the technology AI world or what I call them HICA skills, human interaction, knowledge applied skills, both sets are essential, because you're going to use them with people differently as you get to know people. But in order to get to know people, you have to spend time with them. And you're not really spending meaningful time when you're simply reading someone's words that you've never met or heard the tone of their voice. I'd be better off saying to these kids, spend a little more time on the telephone. Get to talk to people on the phone. Use your voice and use the channel like we're using now. There's plenty of information out there on how effective Zoom or Google Meets can be. And yet at the same time, it's a good communication tool because you can read body language. You can read facial expressions on it. So there's multiple forms of communication channels out there that these kids today are going to have to learn and become proficient in. For me, I only learned one way when I was younger, and that was person to person, face to face, body language to body language. I've had to acclimate and adapt to the world of technology, and I've used it now effectively for the last several months presenting via Zoom and Google Meets. I'm still struggling a little bit. When I get an email from somebody or a text from somebody that I've spoken with and I've seen them on a screen, I have a better sense of what the meaning was behind the words they put there for me to look at on a screen.
Yeah. And I think talking with folks in person, what you're referring to, meeting and speaking with and seeing a person and having a conversation, I like to refer to that as a four-dimensional experience. Oh, it really is a four-dimensional experience. And technology revels in its ability to try and replicate things that are three-dimensional, right? We've had those three-dimensional screens at one point, TVs, and our phones are able to show things in three dimensions if you wear the right kind of goggles. But ultimately, what we're looking at when we look at our phones is a two-dimensional image that is trying to emote some form of three-dimensional and four-dimensional intentions. And Bonin actually has, he talks about this and how technology tries to emulate and recreate that experience, that four-dimensional experience. So just reading from one of his quotes, in a pioneering 1980s study, this is going back, on nonverbal communication, Professor Albert Mehrabian found that our feelings about what others they say are based 7% on the words the person uses. Mm-hmm. Only 7% of the words the person uses, 38% on their tone and voice, and then 55% on their facial expressions. So the picture-based communication that has been integrated into text messaging restores some of this nonverbal communication. And that's in the form of stickers, GIFs, and other images available on apps like Facebook Messenger, the WhatsApp, help us emphasize, highlight importance, and reveal tone. So I can relate to, and I think for any of us who have used that function on our phone, I think I just sent one over to you before, Bob, to kind of exclamate something that you and I were just talking about.
Right.
So there are, I think there's an ingenuity and there's an interesting level of creativity that's going into pointing out to kids when these inflections should be present, when they're replaced on a text message or on a phone with these animated pictures or emojis. So, you know, and I know that's not the direction we want to take kids, but I think there's a learning tool in there that at least at the very least points out when you should be showing some emotion when you're saying something in the form of texting it.
I'm happy to see he writes that those percentages of words, sight, and sounds. And he's acknowledging the fact that first of all, 85% of our knowledge comes through our sight. So using that, if he's going to say that words on a screen mean more than words coming from someone speaking them and the tone of their voice, I would severely disagree with him, argue with him.
Yeah, I don't think that's his point. I think is more so the connection and the acknowledgement that when people are using technology to try and impart inflection and tone, the animated GIFs, the pictures are that what makes four-dimensional or the attempt to recreate four-dimensional interpersonal experiences via a phone. I think that's more so what he's trying to connect to here.
Do you see how many different emojis there are available that supposedly convey the same feeling? It is absolutely knocking. It knocks me out. And I'm thinking it's absurd. You got 15 different smiley faces. You've got laughter faces by the dozens. You've got animal figures. You've got shapes and colors. And so the fact of the matter is all of those different types of descriptive visual shapes to me. Yeah, right. To me are extremely confusing, both to the person sending it and more so to the person receiving it. To what depth are you laughing out loud? What do you mean when you wink like this at me? What is that supposed to mean? But without having the person there and reading their body language, I'm sorry. All of those different choices of different emojis confuse the entire issue of what the meaning was when it was being sent by the person sending it. And more important, what's the person thinking when they're getting it? What mood are they in when they're seeing that? And they're getting the mood. Are they getting the same mood the person is sending it? I don't think so.
Yeah, I think is where we both agree and disagree are on the right points. I still strongly feel that learning this in person and how to master those skills, you know, the HICA skills, is vital and important. The thing I keep on showing on, and I'm going to keep on showing on this, is until I have a cavity, I guess, is to figure out how to leverage this knowledge and this tool to better connect with students, because it is the mode by which they communicate, and more so, more and more each day. And not that I will endlessly drown myself in trying to master that language, but just to better utilize it and to understand, you know, some of the basic lingo, some of the nouns, the verbs that are essential in that in that format, in that, you know, language of SMS and text messaging.
I'm not closed-minded to doing that. I have to do it myself when I'm dealing with students, whether they be middle school, high school, college, or graduate school. So I'm willing to learn the fundamental, if you will, skill sets that are being applied in this world of AI and technology. What I'm suggesting is that these people who are saying that the world that we live in the future will be all technology AI driven, no, they're not. Because we discussed on the last episode the fact that hiring managers and people that are doing interviewing are looking to hire predicated upon soft skills.
Yes.
Between 85% and 92% of the hiring decisions are made on the skills that I'm trying to show the kids are as important, and in some cases more important, based on the situation and application, than using simple screen and typing and texting and emojis. You need them both.
Yeah,
we talked.
Yeah, agreed.
I wouldn't dump either one right now. Technology is too immersed in our world and enmeshed in people's thinking and their whole process of learning. I'm just saying, take some time and understand that we older folks have got a skill set that's been working for a long time, and it's not going to go away. And it's going to determine whether you get an interview, an offer, a job, and how well you work with your coworkers.
Well, in 2 days, I become closer and closer. Well, I'm getting in that older folk area. And I think more and more as I'm working in a school, seeing things that were once new become old quicker and quicker, I'm grabbing and grasping to understand how and why this is changing, while trying to reinstate and exemplify the importance of HICAA skills at the same time. So sounds like the tip of the week.
Well, the truth is, let me just interject one thing. Change, you live it every day, and I live it every day. And the acronym that I've used for that word is absolutely been received extremely well by everybody of all age. Yeah. Create hopeful attitude and new growth experiences, because frankly, we need a positive approach to how we look at the future. And we are definitely going to be growing, and we're going to have different experiences when we do. So the fact is that I want to see the utilization of both sets of skills, technology and HICAA skills, be the skills that are used to build better chemistry between people when their applications go out into the job market, when they're working with coworkers and they're collaborating and cooperating with each other. Chemistry is extremely important, and you need both of those sets of skills to build positive chemistry with the people that you deal with in your life.
Sounds like a great place to bring this week's episode to a close, my friend. So how do our listeners and viewers reach out to you if they want to speak to you further, Bob? Perhaps book you for a school engagement or one-on-one coaching session.
Well, like the gentleman who was smart enough to put his phone number on the front of his book, I will tell you that I'm easily reached. My phone number, which is a 516-639-5515 mobile number, and I answer it immediately and respond immediately. Or they can send me an email at bobwolf@hopeskills.com. And frankly, communication, they picking up that phone and being sure you say, hi, I'm a student or I'm an adult learner that heard your podcast. Can you help me with something? I'll try my best to do that.
Sounds great, Bob. And if you'd like to send us both an email, you can reach us at powerofpeoplepodcast@gmail.com. My personal email address is markerlenwine@me.com. And you can listen to this audio podcast on the Apple Podcast app, where you can download it, or you can go to buzzsprout.com to download the episode as well. And you can also visit us, peoplepodcast.com, where all of this is also available to download.
I apologize for interrupting. This is where sometimes this type of communication causes people to get upset. They can also look at our website, where I've got everything I've done in my life, but more importantly, under resources are all of our podcasts. so they can see what we've been saying and see the flow of information that we're trying to share that becomes knowledge when you apply it.
Absolutely. So, Bob, once again, always great to see you. I want to thank our listeners and viewers for joining us once again. And we look forward to seeing you at episode 7 real soon. Take care, folks.
You too. Have a wonderful week and enjoy 85-degree temperature at the end of the week.
Can't wait, Bob. Thanks.
You're welcome.